All right. Okay. I guess we can go get started.
Well, I need an agenda. I don't have one. I'm needing Rhonda to send it to me. We can go ahead and call the meeting to order. And then did everybody get a chance to review the minutes that Rhonda sent out? I believe it was 2 weeks ago. That's the email that I cannot find. It had the agenda and the minutes from the previous meeting, and I didn't know if there were any changes or amending that we need to do to those meeting notes. Okay, if not, can I get a motion to approve?
This is Donna, so move.
This is Ashley, and I second.
Thank you. Okay. So, Kirby, do you have any updates from the department?
I do. We can go ahead and move with that. I was looking for the agenda email. I'll provide my update and I'll see if I can find that email as well.
Here we go.
You got it?
Yes. I'm pretty sure you are next, though.
What was that again? Do you want me to go?
I finally found the agenda and got it sent to you, so hopefully it'll come in.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, got it. Okay, so Kirby, in other conference calls, so we've done introductions kind of already. You did the, you announced everyone who's on the call. Do you want everyone to still go around and introduce themselves with who they're with? Are they still doing that as well?
I think it makes it kind of difficult to do it on the conference call. I would just make it if anybody has any updates for their agency or just in general, we can save that for the end and just go one at a time. That's fine.
Kirby, this is Rhonda. Can you email me a list of everybody that logs in so I can just attach it to the minute so I've got that in our record?
This is being recorded. So once it's posted to the department website, I could just send that to you. So you can hear everybody that's on the call.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Kirby, we are to you now.
Okay. All right. I have a few updates. Some of these may not necessarily pertain to Region 3, but I've been giving updates for the entire state at every regional council, just so you all know what's going on in the state. We're in a different time for sure. So my first update is the February report, three-year plan. Year one, FY 2020, has been completed and shared with regional council leadership. If you're interested in viewing this document, please contact your regional chair, vice chair, or secretary. The Division of Mental Health Services is seeking proposals from department-contracted crisis service providers to operate a crisis stabilization unit and crisis walk-in center. The successful proposer will serve adults aged 18 or older who are experiencing a behavioral health crisis. Excuse me. While physically located within the department's regions one or two. Counties include Anderson, Campbell, Claiborne, Cox, Granger, Hamblin, Hancock, Hopkins, Jefferson, or Union County. The CSU walk-in center must be physically located in one of the following counties: Anderson, Campbell, Claiborne, Cox, Granger, Hamblin, Hancock, Hopkins, Jefferson, or Union. The continuum is not intended to duplicate services currently provided in these counties. The deadline for the proposals is May 7th. For more information can be found on the department website. Rhonda, I'm going to send you this department update as well so you can attach it to your minutes because I have a few links in here for more information. The department is receiving $10 million federal grant to take behavioral services to the rural Tennesseans who need them the most. The funding will be spread over 5 years and will fund a pair of mobile health clinics to address the behavioral health and physical health needs of residents in 10 rural Tennessee counties. The counties served by the mobile health clinics are in Middle Tennessee, Lawrence, Lewis, Marshall, Perry, and Wayne counties, and East Tennessee, Claiborne, Cox, Granger, Hancock, and Jefferson counties. Counties were chosen based on distress status and need for services. The department will be doing this work in partnership with community behavioral health providers, Buffalo Valley Incorporated and Helen Ross McNabb Center. The goals of Project Rural Recovery are to create a model of care in rural Tennessee that unites primary care and behavioral health and to engage and treat Tennesseans who are underserved by current service delivery methods. Once fully implemented, the goal of the program is to serve about 2,000 Tennesseans at about 4,800 clinic visits per year. The department is proud to add 5 new Lifeline peer project coordinators in rural and distressed areas of the state. The new Lifeliners will be based in Cox, Grundy, Lauderdale, McNairy, and Scott counties. Through the Lifeline Peer Project, people with lived experience of addiction and at least 2 years in recovery use their past to help people overcome the disease of addiction. The department is also excited to announce the expansion of a successful program to divert people from jail into mental health treatment services, Pathways Behavioral Health, Volunteer Behavioral Health Care System, and Morgan County Government have been recommended for grants through the Pre-Arrest Diversion Infrastructure Capital Grants Program. Grant recommendations were made by the department in consultation with the Department of Finance and Administration and will be administered by the Department of General Services. After approval by the State Building Commission, each of these grantees will receive $500,000 to implement the program they designed for their communities. Designs include, at Pathways, crisis services including a walk-in center and crisis stabilization unit in Humboldt to connect clients to treatment and services for Gibson, Crockett, Dyer, Obion, Lake, Wheatley, Benton, Carroll, and Haywood counties. Volunteer Hiawassee Mental Health Center. Crisis services will be expanded to include a 24/7 walk-in center with observation and respite services located in Cleveland to serve Bradley and surrounding counties. An existing crisis stabilization unit in Hamilton County will be available to support the expanded services. And lastly, Morgan County Government, in partnership with Ridgeview Behavioral Health, facility for co-located community services in Wartburg, Morgan County. Legislative proposals are due tomorrow. I'm not sure if Region 3 has any proposals in mind, but they are due by close of business tomorrow. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. And last but not least, the department is seeking proposals from community behavioral health agencies interested in providing school-based behavioral health liaisons in their community. The primary goal of the school-based behavioral health liaison program expansion is to provide recurring funds for up to 59 new school-based behavioral health liaison positions to assist elementary, middle, or high schools in implementing behavioral health services and supports that improve outcomes for students with social-emotional disturbance. Proposals are due by June 1st, 2020. For more information, please visit the department website, and I have that link listed in my update that I will share with Rhonda. And that is what I have.
Thank you, Kirby, so much. Any questions for Kirby? Okay. So we had an audit. Oh my gosh, I don't even remember when it was, a couple of months ago. The state did for the region meetings. And one of the areas that we found that we need to improve on is our membership application. So what we are needing is for those who are wishing to be a member of the Region 3 Planning and Planning and Policy Council to please submit an application. And I have that I can send to Rhonda and she can send out, or if you want to email me, I can send it to you as well. There's a couple of ways that we can get that to you. But that is something that we need to improve on. So if you would like to be a voting member and apply to be a voting member, please fill out that application and submit it. Kirby, who do they submit that to? Does it say?
To you all. So I know, Avis, are you on the call still?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so for the updated, you know, we had been working on a new membership listing. Should they go ahead and move forward with the original membership application they had?
So the latest one that we had the revision to?
Yeah.
If that has been already sent out, then yes, move forward with that one.
Okay, I didn't share that one yet because we were waiting really until the audit was over.
Yes, okay. Here's the thing. This is April. If you all don't mind, let's give that another week or so. I think that the auditors may be wrapping up with the audit, and what I want to do is see if I'm not sure we'll get the findings that quick. If we do, I would like to, when Kirby sends that email out, send any other pertinent information that they may have found or suggested to you all as well. So I would say let's wait about a week or so, and then we can get that out to you. If we have not received a final response from the auditors regarding the audit, we'll go ahead and get that out to you. And the purpose of this is, as Deanna said, that the thing of it is when the auditors look at your membership list, they want to make sure that you identify the representation, mental health or substance abuse, what you represent, if it's a provider, advocate, family member, or consumer. If you feel comfortable identifying as a family member or consumer, please do so. If you do not, you do not have to, but if you do not want to do that, just indicate that on the membership, even if you have to write something in or type something in, don't wish to identify or what have you. You can do that as well. They just want an accurate record of how many members, and by our mental health block grant and also our Title 33, we are required to have 50% family members and consumers. We are trying to make a change in our Title 33 regulations or statute right now. We will be submitting a proposal to make a few changes in that. If that happens, we will definitely let you know. But right now, what is in Title 33 and the federal block grant requirements is what the auditors are going on as we speak now, because this is the current audit time that they're in now. The proposal may take a while to get through and make changes in Title 33, because opening up Title 33 is quite an ordeal. We'll keep you abreast of all of that. So the short answer is, yes, we can get that sent out, but we're going to hold up about a week or so and see if we have any other responses from the auditors.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hi, Deanna. Kirby. Sorry. This is a common theme among almost all the regional councils, so you're not alone. It's been a learning experience. You know, we've had so much leadership change in each regional council over the past couple of years. So it's just a learning experience, and we're just going to try to make it more manageable going forward. So I'll put a whole bunch of information in that email, like Ava said, including, you know, what's the difference between a guest and a member, what, you know, voting rights, who can become a member, things like that. So.
Great. That would be helpful. Thank you so much.
Also, just to interject there, Kirby and I worked on a standardized membership template Excel document that we will be sharing with you at some point to so every region will have that same document, because in the past each region is kind of, we've let them use their own format. With the recent audit, with everyone using a different format, it was a challenge for us to send that to the auditors, explain to them the different formats. Some of you, I know you were, Deanna, contacted by the auditors as well. So we have a standardized format we want to send you that will automatically calculate the percentages you have for each representation. I think that will be very helpful to all of the regions. Chairs, vice chairs, and secretaries, as well as our office, because it will automatically calculate it for you and standardize. So look for that to come. Kirby, did I miss anything on that?
No, I think that covers it. We've been busy.
Yes.
We have. So look forward to several things coming your way in the next few weeks.
Okay, great. Thank you, ladies. Okay, so originally, a couple of weeks ago, before this was rescheduled, we had planned to do the format that we had talked about at the beginning of the year, breaking into our committees, completing our needs assessments. But since then, the needs assessments have already been done. So, and the subcommittees were not prepared today to break into the committees right now. So what we're going to do is we are going to merge 6 and 7 on the agenda. And what I do need you guys though to do is break into your committees outside of this meeting, complete the notes and send them to me. And that is part of the laws and the expectations around this meeting, is that the subcommittees meet and have notes and submit those. So that is really important. So adult, CNA, and legislative, if you guys can send your notes to me and any updates that you have from those meetings. But for now, we're going to move into your committee reports. What you do have, and I would like for you guys to address the needs assessments you did submit and talk a little bit about that. So let's go ahead and start with the adult committee. Connie.
Okay. Well, as you said, we weren't able to meet. We couldn't get our timing scheduled, but the needs that we sent in to address were an increase in crisis detox beds in our region, because we are lower in the state than a lot of other regions that are even smaller than us in the amount of funds that we receive in order to have those beds. And we really are desperate for them. And so that was our substance abuse need. And the mental health need was to increase the store providers, the SOAR, I can't remember what those letters stand for, but we proposed that they increase that into full-time positions that are not just related. We've got 2.5 positions in our area, but they're all strictly to administer help to veterans, which is awesome. We want the veterans' help. But we got other people that are disabled and have severe mental health that need this help to apply for SSI, SSDI, and because of the training and the skills they have, they're able to get it more quickly than somebody can, you know, through the process of just filling out the application and going on, because they know more about what they need to send in with it in order to make it go faster and it cuts out some of these 2 or 3 year waits. Sometimes they can get like in a month. And so we proposed that they make full-time positions for that in our region. And so I apologize that we didn't get hold of everybody to help with making a lot of the decisions on exactly what we were doing, but Donna Maddox, Debbie Laudermilk, and I really worked hard to try to represent what you would want. And so I hope that we can have, I need to know who wants to be on the subcommittee and their information. And so what I think I'll do is just send out a general invitation to a conference call to see who's interested in being in it. So I'm gonna be sure I've got your information, because when we met, somehow the information I had is saying that I've got an invalid recipient, and it won't let me send out groups of emails to people. So I'm having to send them out a little at a time. And so I can't quite figure out what's going on with that. So I may just see if Rhonda could send out an email maybe and give me my information so you can email me and let me know you want to be a part of that. And I'd like to know if you're good with meeting an hour before the regular regional meeting via another phone conference, or maybe an hour and a half. That way we can have 30 minutes to regroup to get into this group. So that's all I have. So if there are other things that Donna or Debbie can think of, that's great.
Thank you. Debbie or Donna, did you want to say anything?
The only thing is I would like to thank Connie for helping with this. I was delayed in getting some of this out, and I apologize again for that, just because of life circumstances with COVID preparation and then storms that rolled through. So Connie did a great job. This is, I know, her first time really taking the lead on some of this, and I really appreciate her. Kirby, thank you for your help getting some of that stuff finalized with me last week. And I think we've got a good submission. So thanks, everybody.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
This is Donna.
Sorry. Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, I was just going to echo what Debbie just offered, and Connie has so stepped up, and I just want to reiterate something that she said. Connie said she had the first email she put out to everybody that had said, yeah, I'd like to be on the adult committee. I don't think she got any responses back. She's been very diplomatic, as she always is. So it's our chance to step up and support her and to work with her. I'm going to do a better job of answering, and I know everybody else will, but I just want to say, you know, Connie, thank you, Connie, for taking this out.
Thank you guys for your support. I appreciate the confidence.
Okay, so next is C&A committee. Is Amy Irvin on?
I am.
Great. Can you give us an update for your committee and needs assessment that you guys submitted?
Absolutely. So we got together and worked on that needs assessment. I think it was before virus hit, and we were able to get some work done. I was a little disappointed because we didn't get a ton of participation on our committee, just kind of like what Connie was saying. I'd like to echo to the team that we could really use support, representation from your agencies on the Children and Adolescent Subcommittee. Even though you may also want to participate in both, you know, you may have a staff member to attend and another staff member to attend children, if that's possible, because I think we've got a couple of really cool needs that we've identified that we really want to work on and see if we can, you know, get some traction on those. What we decided as a committee, that we kind of hypothesized that there seems to be this sort of anecdotal need for behavioral health respite services or maybe more additional behavioral health respite services for our children that have a lot of emotional needs and caregivers who are, just need a break. And so we're just not really sure what the data is on that. It just kind of feels like that. And so instead of, you know, putting together an official need, what we want, you know, for that, what we did is said, let's go look at the data. Let's see what services already exist. Let's see what happens nationally and locally, and see if this is a real true need for our region. And if so, then what we can do is be working on that this year in terms of doing the data analysis and then to be able to present that for 2021 needs assessment. And so, and the same for the substance abuse need is that we hypothesize that recovery groups for specifically for children and adolescents may not be as in abundance or available, especially in the rural areas, you know, for children and adolescents specifically to participate in recovery groups such as NA, AA, Celebrate Recovery, those kinds of things. And again, we're not sure if that's, you know, true. We just kind of feel like that anecdotally that kind of happens. And so we'd be interested to see what's really out there. And again, same, just do some discovery and data analysis this year, and we might present that for next year. And so we do have some action steps and some things that we want to kind of work through on that. And I would love to, like I said, have some folks that might be interested in joining that with me and just get that done.
Okay, great. Legislative, Nicole. Is she on? Okay. We will go to providers.
I believe she is. I'm just not sure. She was on earlier.
Okay.
I can check in.
Okay. Well, we'll move on, and then we can come back if we need to. Okay. So let's move to providers and community announcements. Let's start first with any hospitals present that have any announcements.
This is Debbie Weaver, Moxon Bend, and just to update everyone, we're, of course, with the COVID virus, we're looking at ways to help people stay safe, stay in place, and doing more telehealth evaluations than we've done in the past. Currently, we have made arrangements with 23 of the 46 hospitals that we serve to do telehealth in place so that the staff there at the hospital is made aware at, right after the evaluation whether or not the patient will be admitted to the hospital. And that prevents that patient from having to be transported to us if it's a not admit and then transferred back. And then we're setting up the telehealth system with several of the jails. That's a little slower in coming, but we're real pleased with the progress that has been made so far. It's a win-win for the hospital and for the patient. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Other hospitals. Yeah, go ahead.
This is Jordan and Wendy from Tenova Behavioral Health, and we also rolled out telehealth evaluations last week, and it's been fantastic. And we rolled it out to outpatient clinics. So that number, I can give it to you guys. It's 423-284-7043, and it's Monday through Sunday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So anybody who needs an evaluation for inpatient, they can call that number. And if you can also email me, too. I can send you the flyer through email. That's it.
Is Parkridge Valley on? Erlinger?
Hey, it's Eve from Erlinger Behavioral Health Hospital.
Hey, Eve.
Hey. So I have a bunch of announcements. Erlanger is now officially a Georgia Medicaid provider, so we can take pretty much any Medicaid from Georgia or Tennessee.
Steve, I think we lost you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, there you go.
Okay. So we're officially a Georgia Medicaid provider. So we are in network with all the Georgia Medicaids in addition to all of the Tennessee Medicaids. And we can, of course, take any dual plans that are, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. We are also, as of midnight, officially TRICARE providers. So we are in network with TRICARE, and we will be having a veterans program. So we're really excited to get to serve those who have served our country in this way. I also just wanted to put out there that we have two task forces, I guess, that are meeting regularly. One is a crisis provider task force. So if you work for an entity that does provide some sort of 24/7 or urgent crisis services, I would really like you to be involved. We meet regularly to talk about systemic issues, to kind of plan, to review data about the crisis needs in our community and keep track of that. And then we have a task force underneath the United Way that is a social, emotional, mental health task force that is responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. And we're getting ready to do some really exciting things through that task force, including tons of outreach campaigns, events, virtual events, stuff like that. So if you're interested in joining either of those, either as a crisis provider, or if you're just interested in the outreach piece of the social mental health, I'm going to put my email in the chat, so please reach out to me.
Thank you, Eve. Any other hospital providers that I have missed? Okay, let's move to mental health community announcement and providers. So if anybody, I know we have several on here, so just be patient if you guys talk at the same time and we'll get to everyone. So who would like to go first?
Hey, this is Debbie from CADIS. I'll go first. So this is, again, if I can, this is Debbie Loudermilk of CADIS, and we are, just like everybody, trying to position ourselves to best accommodate some of the COVID crisis complications and challenges. We found ourselves at a critical shortage of supplies that I think we have overcome as far as interesting for a substance abuse facility. We had all alcohol-free hand sanitizer, gallons of it. And as you know, that does not sufficiently kill the virus. And so then we've had challenges like that just to keep ourselves up and running. We have hopefully secured a lot of those supplies now and feel a lot more positioned than we were maybe just a few weeks ago. We have gone live via telehealth since March 23rd. We went live with all of our outpatient groups. So we have four outpatient groups, including medication-assisted treatment. We do a lot of that on site, but we do all the group therapy now via Zoom. And we still have, obviously, doctor, nurse visits, injections, all of that, drug screens coming on site with the CDC screening recommendations when they come in the building. So we are at least figuring out how to operate in this new climate. We are continuing to admit people into our residential facility for medical detox and residential rehab. Our halfway house is staying full. We have 36 people in there today, 24 people in our apartments, and probably over 50% of them have lost their jobs in the last 30 days because they were restaurant. You know, we've had a lot of layoffs with our people in our extended care facilities. So we've been trying to juggle some grant applications to help them with food. So it's just, you know, I'm pleased that we're where we are now, that we are continuing to provide services. It has been for all of us, you know, such a challenge. But going you know, going live via Zoom now for about 6 weeks, five, 6 weeks. We're getting the a better hang of it. So, but that's about it for us. It's the same for everybody. I realize we're all doing a lot more remotely, but we are still continuing to admit people to the facility, just so everybody knows that. And of course, we do uninsured, insured, and Medicaid for Tennessee. And we do try to screen them on the phone first to make sure if they have some symptoms that we're not pulling them into our population. We are very grateful. We have had no positives with our staff or clients at this point. And so we're hoping to keep that a safe place. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Nicole, do you want to go and do your policy and then report from co-op? Maybe she still can't get off mute. But
yeah, she thinks she's still off mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yay! Okay, well, good morning, everybody. So thank you, Gail. Yes, I'll go ahead, and then that way we can get back to the updates from everybody. So the legislative committee, we did have that initial meeting, and then we've had some communication since. The things that have come out of our initial discussions that the committee identified as key topics that we kind of wanted to investigate further was about mental health parity laws and how that could impact behavioral health services for the region. The opening of MPA to multiple agencies with a standardized tool and appropriate licensure. Since the changes have, you know, require that an MPA through the crisis team for admission for uninsured and TennCare, you know, then that leads to our next point, which was the long wait times for behavioral health crisis response. That's one of those things. I think that that's one of those areas that we may have seen improvements, but at this point, we really don't have the data to indicate whether that has, you know, as a historical problem, is continuing to be a concern. It's just more anecdotal, you know, discussion surrounding it that continues to bring it up in conversation. Also, the availability of indigent and Medicaid beds for inpatient treatment, and that's for both substance abuse as well as behavioral health. I think that is in connection with the closures of mental health beds and then the limits for some of the providers, for some of the facilities with the indigent and Medicaid population that they take. Additionally, one of the biggest discussions that the group had was surrounding data transparency and really the discussion surrounding having some real-time data, because most of the information that we receive is you know, mostly, you know, after the fact or, you know, could be a year's worth of data compiled, but it's, you know, from a previous time frame. What we would like to see is any agency that receives public funding that we have some real-time data sharing, including facilities with bed availability. So those were just kind of the preliminary conversations that that the group had. What the other part of our discussion will be the review of the needs assessment that is completed by both the adult and the child and adolescent committee. Of course, those needs assessments will also come into the conversation for us to review. So I think at this stage, we're ready to kind of review all of the data that we have received up to this point, along with the needs assessment. And then that way, I think we'll be prepared to make a recommendation moving forward. One of the additional items that has just kind of recently come up, and I think a lot of us in this new age of COVID could relate, is that it's been very good and relatively easy for behavioral health to continue providing services with the use of telehealth being approved. And so one of the comments and
discussions, and Eve brought it up, is the continued use of telehealth by therapy and nurse practitioners, and kind of maybe advocating for the relaxed rules surrounding that for 10 care and Medicare and even commercial, so that we can continue to provide telehealth services even possibly after the pandemic subsides. I think we've all learned that there's a lot that can be accomplished via telephonic and televideo conferencing capabilities. And I think that that is something that, you know, we need to consider going forward, especially for behavioral health care. Anything that I need to add or did not include that anybody else would like to include in the conversation? Okay. So with that being said, I think the legislative committee following this meeting, we will be getting together to review. I would appreciate that everyone that has agreed to participate and support the committee so that we can make a good recommendation for the committee to move forward. And with that being said, I think I will move on with the mental health co-op update, if that's okay with everybody.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So for Mental Health Co-op, we have continued to provide services. We are still open on our locations in all of our locations across the state. We are continuing to provide on-site services, walk-in. We are doing COVID screenings, but we are still providing walk-in services at all locations. We do have providers along with therapists and case management staff that are doing telephonic activities. We are doing med management appointments over the phone along with therapy. And like I kind of talked about, it's been a very successful process to encourage participation by our consumers. So that's been actually very good. In addition to that, we have added a new nurse practitioner to our program. And he is in the East region. His name is James Bowen. He is covering services at Chattanooga, Cleveland, and our Cookeville location. So we now have that additional provider coverage in all locations. And we have also added a new therapy and intake supervisor. His name is James Lewicki. And I think those are the most recent updates that I have for you all.
Okay, thank you, Nicole. Who else from Community Mental Health would like to go?
This is Gail with Helen Ross McNabb. I can go. I'm going to go right on Nicole's back there and say that we at McNabb are continuing to see clients walk in and face-to-face. I agree that the telephone and the televideo and all that has been amazing, and I hope that the policy committee does continue to work on that and see what we can do. I think especially in a lot of our remote areas and situations when transportation interferes with us being able to provide certain services, it would be wonderful if that would be an option for us to continue. But we're doing both at this time. Anyone that comes in, we're definitely screening. We're screening our staff every morning. But we're continuing to provide face-to-face services as well as the telemedicine and televideo. We are also participating in, the response to COVID. For those, I think it was Debbie that mentioned a lot of individuals are losing jobs or hours are being cut back. And I just want to make sure this group is aware that if you are working with clients that are experiencing financial difficulties specific to the results of decreased hours and things like that related to COVID-19, that by calling 211 United Way, you're able to be assessed to the individual will be connected with a coach and assessed as to whether or not they meet the criteria for some specific funds to help with rent and utilities. So I just want to make sure everyone's aware of that. Just if you're working with people, have them call 211. We had to put our preschool opening on hold due to this pandemic, but we have renovated and we've got staff, and we plan to begin our groups again in August. So hopefully everything will continue to go well and we'll be able to do that. And we are onboarding our Chi2 facilitator. So if Susan Green is still on here, I think you are, I will be reaching out to you in the next couple of weeks to introduce you to Trish Cunningham, who will be our facilitator. But I want everyone to know, because just as Susan is housed at the Ames Center, she's available to everyone throughout this region to help in exploring the mental health housing options. So will Trish be available to all of us in this region to help explore? And this is specific to substance abuse housing, sober living. So I'm excited to be bringing her on board. I'm excited, Susan, to continue to collaborate with you. And I will definitely invite Trish to come to our next meeting so that she can meet with you all and you can get to know her. I think that's it for McNabb. I do just want to say that Amanda on this call is actually my master's intern. And so I should have said that in the beginning when I first said good morning, but she is participating on this call and will be interested, I'm sure, to hear more about what these committees are doing. And if she expresses interest, I may connect her with one of the committee chairs to let her work with you all. She'll be finishing up in December, but she's with me until then. So,
great. Thank you so much, Gail. Other announcements for community mental health or substance use?
Yes, hi, good morning. This is Jen Talbert. I'm with Spiro Health. And for those of you that don't know, we provide outpatient services for all substance use disorders, including doing the medication-assisted treatment. And we do provide the counseling. That is a must. If they get the medication, they have to do the counseling. We do individuals and groups. And we are now, oh my goodness, finally in network with Amerigroup as well as the other 10 care MCOs. So we're very excited about that. And then we also have a very affordable self-payment plan if folks need that, they're uninsured. And with that, so just for example, for $75 a week, they get to see the provider, get that whole health wellness visit in. They also get up to 3 individual counseling sessions per week, and they can also partake in the groups, and we coordinate recovery support services for that $75. So just know that that is an option. So in this current climate, we have really been concerned about our folks relapsing. So we have really coordinated with the Hamilton County Coalition to offer Narcan, online Narcan training to all of our patients and their families. So just want to, just remind everybody that there is the online Narcan training that is available. That is something that's really needed. And, of course, we're doing the virtual sessions as well and the face-to-face visits, just depending on the needs of the patient. And of course we are still accepting the new patients as well. Just wanted to give you guys those highlights. Of course, we're located off Lee Highway there in Chattanooga.
Okay, great. Thank you. Other announcements.
Hey, Deanna, this is Debbie from Cadiz. I'm sorry. I forgot one announcement and it's a big one. I'm so sorry. Can you come back to me when you get done with the other providers? I don't want to jump ahead of anybody.
Just go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. I heard another caller jump on, so I'll make it quick. My boss would absolutely really be disappointed if I failed to mention. It made me think of it when Gail said about the preschool. Cadiz is prepared to continue with the process of opening our new detox center. I think you guys are aware we've added 24 medical detox beds to our 56 bed capacity. We plan to have a soft opening on that end of May, and we will be full open, I hope, June 1st for the 24 additional medical detox beds. That unit is absolutely gorgeous. Thank goodness we had that started before this crisis, and we will put our MAT services, medication assisted treatment services, in there. And the detox services will now be separated from residential. So what that means is we'll have 56 beds for residential separate from 24 detox beds moving forward. So I'm very excited. I'll make sure when we can have an open house safely that I'll get that information out to you, Deanna, and for us to distribute to this region. But we are going to be up and running, so that detox, we should be able to have a little bit more breathing room for some detox beds moving forward.
Great. Thank you. Hey, other announcements?
This is Jennifer Hennessy. I'm with Norris Academy, which is located just north of Knoxville. We're a residential treatment facility, and we serve youth with neurodevelopmental diagnosis and intellectual disabilities. So if you know anyone that serves youth, typically IQ is below 70 at this facility. They come and stay with us for about 3 to 6 months and get that intense therapy and, you know, work with the families very closely, and we get them back home. I know distance might be an issue, but we are more than happy to help with transportation and accommodations if necessary. Just let me know.
Thank you. Any others for community mental health or substance use? Okay, let's move to any CAB updates.
This is Connie. We are continuing to work on the CPRS conference. This is if we're 100% positive it's going to happen. It's scheduled for October the 8th and 9th. We've moved it to a Thursday and Friday instead of a Sunday and Monday because that was a request that people felt like they could meet that better, and so we're doing that. And so we're working on getting registration stuff up and running. We've got we have across the state, I don't know if all peer support services are doing it, but I know all the peer support centers across the state are doing something to maintain their groups and stuff like that, because we can't meet and maintain our distance and everything. And so I know through the volunteer system, we're making daily calls to our members that have been members, or to anyone that, like, case management or, you know, somebody refers to us saying that they're having a really hard time. We're making daily calls to them. We're having conference calls. Finally figured out how to do a conference call. We're having conference calls and doing support groups over our Fuse system. And so those things are doing really well. And like I heard some of the rest of you say, I think services via telephone and video and all of that are just wonderful, because so many of our people don't show, and maybe, you know, maybe they're feeling agoraphobic or something and just can't get out of the house, but they will answer those phone calls. And so I think more people are probably actually getting better treatment by being able to do the telehealth services. And I know that our little group at our peer center sure is. And so the Consumer Advisory Board is working really hard to see to it that our consumers that we meet with every day are continuing to be served. And so that's our big update.
Okay, thank you. Do we have anyone on here from United Healthcare?
Yes, this is Kibra Bryant.
I'm with United Healthcare Community Plan. Hi. We don't have anything to report. There have been a lot of changes with Medicare regulations. If you need to find out about anything, please refer to Medicare website. Everything is listed very clearly. Other than that, we have no other report.
Okay, thank you. Anyone on for Blue Care, Medicare?
This is Joan Jenkins with Blue Care.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I really
good.
Don't have anything to report, except as everyone, we're all trying to make changes in this new world that we're finding ourselves in during a very challenging time. And so we're doing everything to support our members virtually and by phone, of course. And so if I have anything else to report, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. Anything that we have missed before we adjourn the meeting?
This is Stephen Locke with iHope Network. We're a telehealth provider in Tennessee. We work with Ascension and with St. Thomas Healthcare. And I just wanted to mention that we are now running support groups for healthcare workers in various facilities where they have contracted with us to provide support groups for people who are dealing with the stress of caring for patients with COVID-19 and also with concerns regarding their families.
Great, thank you so much. Anyone else? Okay, we have our next meeting will be July 16th. Just be open to announcements of how we are going to proceed with that. I'm not even going to pretend that we know. Things are changing all the time, every day. You have my email and Rhonda's email, so if you guys have any announcements that were not made into this meeting, please feel free to send them and we will send them out. We will see or talk to you all on July 16th. Have a great day.
You
do we have a motion?